Welcome back to the UK and Ireland Jets podcast. This is a new season, a new era, new general manager, new team, new coach. And for the first time ever, you'll have the UK and Ireland Jets podcast throughout the entire season. So we plan to have weekly podcasts to give you reviews and previews to games. And this is our very first in the pre-season. Got some familiar faces, Joss, John and Yusuf. Hiya, how you doing, guys?
Not bad, thanks for having us.
Yeah, good, man. Good.
Yeah, I'm great.
A good season for once.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to get straight into the questions. So, as I said, it's a new era at the Jets. And what do you think? What are your early opinions of the Gase and Douglas regime?
If they can sort out cornerback, I'll be happy.
that's kind of a positive start, I guess.
Yeah, always full of pessimism. Typical Jets fans.
No, Darnold and Gase look like they've clicked better than I was expecting. As anyone who listened to the first few pods knew, I wasn't a biggest fan of Gase hire. But it seems like he's getting the best out of Darnold, which is the most important thing. Douglas is doing what he can with the scraps that Max left him, and I've liked the moves he's made. But with the injuries to the secondary, it's going to be tough this season to stop anything. Like, you can have the best D-line on the planet, but if they've only got a second before the quarterback releases it to an open receiver, it's not going to do much. If we don't get a corner in, I think this is going to be pretty much a wasted season out with a Darnold's development.
In my opinion, they've done extremely well for their situations, or for the situations they've both been dropped in. I mean, Gase obviously had it pretty easy, in my opinion. He's pressed all the right buttons. The Williamson play in the second quarter of the Falcons game aside, that was obviously bullshit. That aside, he's doing pretty well, better than I expected, especially with the media, with the New York media. I really like his interviews and everything. And he seems to be sort of popular with the players and establishing a good relationship to the team, or at least that's all I hear. So, yeah, I've got no complaints about Gase so far. Douglas, this is a little bit more complicated, in my opinion, because he was dropped into a bad situation timing-wise. Like, of course, our Jets are never a completely bad situation, but just from the timing, the market is shit, let's be honest. And he can't really do much right now. I think we're going to see what Douglas is made of after the first big roster cuts are made, whether he can pick some players up. I mean, of course, we hear about the incoming, like Dontrell Inman is in for a visit today, or was in for a visit today and everything. But those are small biscuits, sort of. The big cake is coming after the roster cuts. And for him to consider this a successful offseason, he has to get in a cornerback. I don't know how, but he has to, because otherwise this secondary is just lost, because we are one injury from Trumaine Johnson away from an undrafted rookie in Kyron Brown being our starting cornerback, and that's just horrendous. Thank you, Mike McKegnan.
To a certain extent, I agree. But it happened to get a cornerback in. If that you look and say they are worth playing, do you think we're ready to compete just now? Is it worth spending a second round draft pick on a veteran cornerback is going to cost us a lot? Or it was well saying, do you know what, this season's all about getting Darnold ready to attack next year and hit free agency properly in the off-season and address it in the off-season. I mean, if you think we can make the playoffs this year, then fair enough, you go spend the money in the corner. But is that realistic? I know I did my own power rankings. I had as about 22. I don't know if we're quite there yet. And I don't know if I want to spend premium picks on a position that you can wait to the off-season.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at it like this. At no point in the build-up to this season, pre, during and post-draft, did I think that we were anywhere near playoff ready. I know that's a pessimistic way of looking at it, but I like to think I'm a bit of a realist. And that's even if we didn't have any injuries at all and everybody was playing at the top of their game. I still call it 8-8 at best, but you know, I'm just one man. Injuries are a part of the game, so the likes of Avery Williamson going down for the year, as stupid as that was, is just part of the game. It's going to happen to other teams as well. I'm personally happy with the way things are developing at the moment. I'm also using other teams' mishaps, such as the fantastic and the fantastic Mensa student that is Antonio Brown, deciding that going in a cryo chamber in a pair of Air Force Ones is probably not the smartest idea. I'm looking at the
fact that he definitely wasn't wearing his helmet, was he?
No, the fact that he's. I mean, look, I'm kind of on his side with the helmet thing because of the whole Tom Brady got a grace year, but like, I'm not here to talk about that guy. But I'm looking at San Francisco, and you know, the they were like, before he got injured, they were a week away from building Garoppolo a statue. Now he's come back after his injury and he looks absolutely terrible. You got we're swearing, so might as well go for the shit show in Cowboy Land going on, Jerry being Jerry. So I'm kind of looking at it and going, our ship looks really stable in comparison to everybody else. You can't really do much about injuries, but I don't see the good old days of like Gino getting punched over $200 or stupid crap like that and wrecks with his foot fetish and whatnot. So I'm kind of cool with the way things are developing. And if anybody thinks that coming into this season, they had that blind faith of we'll make the playoffs, I hate to say it, but in my opinion, they're wrong. So this just is par for the course. Next season, if we can build on this season, that's absolutely fine. But if you look at other teams, we're actually developing on a steady kind of incline at the moment. So I'm kind of happy.
Yeah, Bagus, on you go.
I was just going to say, I mean, on the whole position gap of corner and our desperate need, I mean, I wouldn't put it past Joe Douglas finding a way to get a corner. I mean, he's shown that he's quite aggressive and innovative. I mean, he's brought Ryan Khalil out of retirement as a centre. No one would have thought that would have been an option. So I've got a bit of faith in him. I've got early faith in him, should I say, that he'll find a way to get a corner and he'll find a way to get this defence looking good and hopefully looking as good as the offence does at the moment, which, I mean, from those first two games with Darnold in, wow, it seems like a very different New York Jets.
Yeah,
certainly.
It's the worry is we let go four of our main players for the number one ranked special teams in the country last year, and now we can't have a kicker that can make an extra point.
well, this comes down to my next question for you guys. So you've had two games so far in the preseason, a win and a loss. What were the positives and negatives? I mean, Josh already pointed one major negative out.
Well, right off the bat, wins and losses I really don't care about in the preseason. You look at the Giants game, when the starters were on, we went down, got a touchdown and held them to a 3-and-out. And then everybody started gloating about Daniel Jones, who managed to go 5-for-5 with starters against backups. Heck, I could do that. I'm happy the way the starting offense looks, and we've still not even added Bell to it. Negative is Herndon looks really good, but he's missing the first four games, which is a nuisance because him and Darnold seem like they've really stuck up
that's
a partnership.
That's his security blanket. I think that's going to be his security blanket for the season. Well, the last three quarters of the season.
Which is annoying because you like young quarterback early in the season having that. But I think at least Bell's a good security blanket. If anything's not on, dump it off to the running back and let Bell pick up a few. The biggest worry to me is kicking game in corner. We touched on it a second ago, but we are down to the absolute bare bones. I seen a tweet, can't remember what it was, but it was something like the Jets are one injury away to a guy called Campbell, where they're playing Curry on Brown, like you mentioned, starting. I was like, I don't even know who the Campbell guy is.
Yeah.
Which is more worrying. I'm like, we're worried about an injury to a guy who I don't know because it's going to cause another guy that I don't know to start. And I'm like, that is not what you're after. And it was as much as I hate harping back to it, because he actually looked really good in the second preseason game, it was my issue with going Quinnen Williams at the draft. Mm. We've got, it was already an area of strength, and we've just left the rest of the, because we've never had a pick for the third round, we've left so many glaring holes in this roster that you are at a lot of positions one injury away from
disaster. We don't know what was going on behind the scenes though during that draft, because obviously McCagnan then got taken out the back, and yeah, so
exactly. It's just, it could be that they try to take back, and you don't want to get robbed, which I understand. But it's just why I was annoyed as much as
of course.
Even if it might be the only pick you could go, because if someone's only offering you a third round and you need to go back to the 15th, it's like it's not, if they're not, if the value is not there, you can't take it. You don't want to be seen as a franchise that will just dish out picks. But it was just, it's just shown up how weak at particular spots. I think there's areas of strength. I think safety was strong, receiver was strong, running back was strong, cornerback were extremely weak, D line were extremely strong. It's going to be an issue. And people are saying that we can get to the quarterback with our D line, which is fine, but they're going to need to get there in under half 2 seconds. The cornerbacks we've got cannot keep wide receivers shut down.
Another issue that's come out from these games in terms of the defense as well, though, is the linebacker now. Because yep. Avery Williamson was still in the game against the Falcons for God knows what reason, and now he's out for the season. And I mean,
well, he was playing with the second, so I don't know if that was Gase and Williams basically saying they don't like him as much as the young guys. I don't get it. I'd have him starting, but if he was in with the seconds, there's got to be a reason for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's
now that now even Blake Cashman's injured.
Yeah, that's the problem. Blake Cashman, who seems to be having an amazing preseason, he seems injured as well. So I think it's Neville Hewitt who is now the linebacker in there. I mean, all of a sudden, a couple of injuries, as you mentioned, and the defense goes from great to, well, not very good.
It's the issue that you've got with McCagnan's draft. Everyone's always said his first-round picks generally work out, but the bottom half of your roster is made up of second, third, fourth-round picks. We've not had any hit in about 6-7 years now, and it's made the bottom half of this roster really, really, really thin. Which means that injuries destroy the roster a lot more than they would as if we had picked a bunch of second and third round guys that maybe weren't elite starters but were good backups, the drop-off's not as far. The issue is, you look at, I think it's in these four drafts, there's no more than two players still on the roster from any of them, except obviously the most recent one that just happened. But that is a major, major issue.
Going back to the cornerback situation, our defense in the, like, defending the pass has been woeful the last couple of seasons. But like, I'm just looking at the schedule now and seeing what quarterbacks we go up against: Baker Mayfield, that guy from Boston, Dak Prescott, that guy from Boston again. The bin man that the Giants came up with, that's fine, don't worry about him. Although he actually didn't look that terrible, to be fair, against us in the short time he played.
I think Manning will still be playing by then.
Lamar Jackson, yeah, Big Ben. Yeah, if they're not targeting those cornerbacks, if that hasn't been rectified, it's going to be painful. No,
the annoying thing is, we finally look like we're going to have a twit, and this is sounding very negative, which I didn't think it was going to be, because if you talk about Darnold and his development, we finally look like we've got a 21st century offense for the first time since I've probably been a Jets fan.
Yeah, it kind of looks more complete than it has. Yeah, just end of sentence, really.
that I can really remember. You're probably going back to what, Mancini's years?
God,
since we had a team. 2008, was that the Forex?
I mean, that was, it was rounded because we had running backs and everything, and yeah.
No,
the only thing I could. Go on, sorry. But I was just saying, I think maybe we're going to go for a Chiefs Chiefs style of let's just outscore our opponent. But that would be the most Jets thing I've ever seen.
That's going to be tears.
I think that the Jets, they got two big problems for me right now, and both problems have surfaced over this offseason. The first problem is that, as we just mentioned, the cornerback situation is terrible. And the second problem is, you all mentioned it about, I just want to outline this. If you look at the roster of the Jets, there's exactly one position group where I'd say if the starter goes down or if one starter goes down, we're fine, and that is running back. If Bell gets hurt or anything, I'm good with Ty Montgomery. But look at the rest of the roster, and I mean across the roster. There's not a single fucking group. I'm sorry for the language, but a single fucking group.
The language will only increase through the season, listeners, so I'd say
if our starter gets hurt, we are fine. I mean, just look at quarterback. Trevor Siemian has looked awful all summer long. Wide receiver.
I think quarterback, I'm not really fussed about. I think 90% of teams, if a quarterback goes down, their season's over.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep a good backup.
Yeah,
D-line, I think we're pretty strong at. But I agree, outside of that, offensive line.
Yeah, it's just, you know, the only position I was confident in before was in the backup was middle linebacker, and that's vanished with the injury to Avery Williamson. I mean, I do like Blake Cashman, and I do like Neville Hewitt, but they ain't Avery Williamson. And imagine Blake Cashman, I think fourth round rookie or fifth round rookie, trying to cover the likes of any proper tight end in the NFL, sort of. I mean, that's a totally different thing than trying to cover third stringers in preseason. So yeah, I'm just worried about this depth.
It must have been about a week ago. Greg Williams after training. And the journalist asked him a question about depth and players' different abilities, and he made a long point about saying how they're making sure that a lot of players, especially on defense, are multifaceted and that they can be brought into different situations and different positions at different times. Now that's great to give different looks and whatnot, but it's the first time in a long time I've seen anybody in the Jets organization actually with some kind of forethought, with thinking about it and planning for different situations instead of just playing the hand they're dealt that's put in front of them week on week. They're thinking outside of the box, and it kind of filled me with a little bit of confidence. Granted, they're not going to, people who are filling in different roles and positions, it may not be their primary skill set, but you know, the fact that they're getting experience in different positions can only surely be a good thing.
Well, I've got 2 points on that, the Greg Williams situation. First of all, slightly off topic, but wee bit related. The issue with Greg Williams' system is it's blitz heavy. Now, blitz heavy relies, Rex did it very similar when he came, but it relies on cornerbacks that can cover man-to-man single coverage.
Yes.
We had Kamari and we had Revis, which was great. We don't have that anymore. So I'm quite worried about Williams' system. When you're talking about having people prepared for different positions, though, it's like what I'm seeing everybody slate, Jachai. I think it's just, is it Jachai Polite?
Yeah, Jachai Polite.
Jachai Polite, yes.
They're doing that with him. They're trying to turn him. He spent his years at Florida as a third-down pass rusher. That's all he did. He hit the quarterback as fast as he could. They're trying to turn him into a three-down outside linebacker. That could benefit him in the long run, but we also need to be patient with the fact that he's never did that before.
Yeah, just
he's not going to look good straight away.
Just
he's
quickly on Jachai Polite, I don't know if any of you follow Connor Hughes, he kind of reports like play on play in regards to training and whatnot. Jachai Polite has been stuck in with the thirds and sometimes the seconds most of preseason. So they're obviously taking their time with him. He's not going to be instant impact, obviously not being drafted straight away. Kind of gave that away as well, but yeah, he's been with the thirds a lot and only a little bit with the seconds. So, yeah, it might take a bit of time.
It's more like his attract tournament, a three-down player. And the issue with that is when you've watched the games in the preseason, he spent a lot of time in coverage and not hitting the quarterback, which is far from his strength. Yeah. But it means you need to be patient. We need to be accepting that Williams is clearly, like you're saying, he's got a plan. It's not necessarily me. I would have played polite, but as long as you know what they're doing, you can accept it being a bit slower. And I quite like it. The issue is, whenever I watch Bowles' teams, I always felt like week to week they didn't have a plan. They didn't know what they were doing. They try and play one way one week and then just completely come out with a game plan that made no sense the next. If you've got a long-term structure, you can deal with slower results. So I would say that we need to be patient with players like Polite, except that if a track tournament into a three down every play linebacker, it's going to take a while. But my issue with that, again, it comes back to the fact that we've got such a weak roster that we didn't. We had one first round pick at six, and then we didn't have a pick until the third round, and we basically look like we're going to be writing this off as a development year for him. I don't think we've got the roster size to do that.
And on the topic of the roster, a question we had in from the WhatsApp was, which like long shot do you think might make the roster, and who will be a surprise cut? I mean, this roster is like all over the place at the moment in terms of players towards the lower end.
My thinking for surprise might be Valentine Holmes. I thought he's played well so far.
Yeah,
I think he's shown some sharpness and. Yeah, I mean, like coming from a different sport and then coming into impressing a Giants game, I think he's got a chance. Don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think the issue with the bottom half of making the roster is with the injuries were picked up in certain positions. I don't think it's that much a surprise if the undrafted guys make it. We're currently looking at, we're very close to undrafted guys being starters. Guys that might not make the roster that are going to be a surprise.
Don't let the hope fall out of you just yet. It's too soon. I can hear it in your sigh.
I'm just trying to think. Like, I don't know who would. It depends how many running backs they want to run with, how many receivers. I don't know how they're going to build the roster. Because they could easily go with just three running backs.
Yeah.
A surprise cut, or a surprise cut for many of us, maybe, but not so surprising for people analyzing the situation is Bilal Powell. I don't think he'll stick. I think the Jets are gonna go with Bell, Montgomery, McGuire, and Cannon because.
Yeah, I think McGuire will get cut.
I'm not sure about McGuire.
In my opinion, because of his upside and because he's younger. And Powell's coming off a devastating injury that nearly ended his career. He's 30 years old. And I mean, all sympathy and all love for a long time Jets aside, I don't think he has to stick on the roster and to come up against the potential of McGuire and Cannon. So I think Powell will be a goner, as well as the Aussie punter, Lachlan Edwards. I think a very, very good possibility that Matt Dar gets his job simply out of familiarity with Gase, and that Edwards is a goner, which is very sad in my opinion because I really like him, but I don't see it actually.
I can see Trent Cannon staying just for the fact that he's returning kicks, but yeah, I mean the McGuire situation. It depends how nostalgic they want to get with. Bilal Powell, really. I mean,
I think there's a chance they'd just go with three.
I think Cannon will stick because, as Yusuf just said, he's good on special teams.
I think they'll go with, though, are Bell, Montgomery, Cannon. I honestly wouldn't be surprised to go with three.
Yeah, but
because I think that.
I don't think they're going to do that. Cannon is too much of a shit running back for that, in my opinion.
So you think Cannon will just stay purely for special teams then?
Yeah, I think What saves Cannon's life is his special team ability. Same with Matthew Slater in the England. Like he's not by far. By far, he's
about to
not.
say Matt Slater's.
Look, for me, he's. Look at him at running back. Every snap, even this preseason, for me, Trenton Cannon has nothing to search on any position, offense or defense in a game. He's purely a special teams player at best. And so I don't think the Jets are going to ride with three running backs and Cannon being one of them. So I think they're going to ride with four. Okay. Because look at
Bell. I just don't think McGuire offers anything either.
Huh?
I don't think McGuire offers anything.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Bell is, you know, you have to look at the grand picture, and Bell hasn't played for a year. Bell is technically a wild card. Anything could happen, especially with someone who has a running style as Bell has. And Montgomery is a good backup, but now let's have Montgomery an ankle injury or anything. Then you're sitting there with Cannon as your number one running back.
The reason I'm not worried about Bell at all is the fact they've not played him in the preseason. I think if he looked remotely at the fact they've not actually think means he looks pretty fresh and he looks good. And I get it's not game-like situations, but if they felt there was any chance he looked a wee bit rusty, they would have been getting him reps, and they've not, which makes me pretty confident in that. But again, it's surprise, not what we're necessarily expecting to happen. It's surprise cuts that could happen, which is why I'm thinking they might go with three, because I don't really rate Maguire, and I think Powell served his time. But again, because of the way the injuries have hit, I don't think anything's going to be that much of a surprise. I think it could go a number of ways, and I wouldn't be surprised either of them.
I mean, slightly, but on the topic of the running backs, how good does it look though, having Ty Montgomery, who is our backup, but in the preseason has looked great. I mean, you can just imagine the fun Gase is going to have scheming with Bell and Montgomery in the backfield, who are essentially two more receivers. I mean, the opportunities that Darnold should have is going to be completely endless.
It's going to be weird watching a screen pass that doesn't go for negative 4
yards. Yeah, you're saying there's going to be more screen passes than last season.
They might actually work.
considering the weapons around Darnold and the offensive-minded coach and arguably the best offense the Jets have had in God knows how long, Is this a make or break year for Sam Darnold? If he doesn't do as well as everyone expects him to, is that him he's not the franchise quarterback?
No, his age means he's always, like, I read the other day, even, I think it's October, week 4 of next year, Sam Darnold will be the same age as Baker was when he was drafted.
Yeah. That's crazy, isn't it?
Take that into account. As long as there's progression, I don't need him to be a top 10 quarterback yet. I do need progression. I need them to not make their crot like the week one throw against Detroit. You can't have that. You can't have anything close to that. Running one way, throwing it across your body. You can't have the taking sacks needlessly, throw the ball away. You can't have the forcing it if it's not there. As long as you get rid of the major mistakes and he takes a step forward, I'll be happy. His age means you're hoping, as long as there's progression, it means he'll get there. I don't need him. People are expecting him to be a top 10 quarterback. I'm not. As long as he's above average and he cuts out the mistakes and there's improvement, I'd be happy.
Do you know what the thing about him and throwing across his body? Just getting flashbacks of Brett Favre. And Favre could, look, Favre got picked off many a time, but he threw across his body so much and made so many good plays. And it wasn't because he was in danger and he panicked. It's because he knew he could make that pass. And with Darnold, he can do that as well. We saw that in the early parts of last season. He was doing it. Granted, it can put you in trouble. And yes, we know with Darnold, having watched him through college, or seeing clips of him through college and following him through getting draft, he's going to get picked off. He's going to get picked off quite a lot. But he can make that pass. And I've got faith in him to a point. I do think when he does that, he knows what he's doing. He's not panicking. He's not. He doesn't seem like the guy who does that coming out of the pocket and then having to adjust and throw and making it look awkward. He's doing it because he knows he can make that pass, because you don't see him do that, throwing across his body, trying to make it 25 yards. He's throwing across his body, throwing it 10 to a guy who's open, who's going to get, what, 5, 10 yards after the catch. I've got confidence in him doing that. As long as he, like you said, doesn't do it all the time, that's fine.
I just think risk reward, I guess. But my issue is more, you're talking about Brett Favre probably had, what, top 5-10 arm strength in NFL history.
Oh no, don't get me wrong, but that's what I'm saying about Sam. Sam's not trying to
got that arm
But I think over a shorter distance he's fine. I think over medium distance and further, obviously not. We knew from the get go that Sam doesn't have the stupid arm strength that some of the same quarterbacks in the same year had. You know, the Joshes, for example. You know, their arm strength was pretty decent, but I still think he. I know it goes against the mechanics that he has been taught and is probably still being taught now, but I still think when he does it, he's got a reason to it, and he's not panicking. But that's just me.
I just think at some point you need to take risk reward, take the sack, throw it out of bounds, lift it. It's what I've always separated, say, Brady from Manning. You look at the stats, Manning always felt like he had to get a first down here. He had to get a touchdown in this drive because he didn't have the defense to stop. So he'd take risks, in my opinion, that were unnecessary. Whereas Brady was quite happy, even if it was 3rd and 8, if he's not certain he's making it, if there's a risk in interception, he'd take the sack, he'd throw it out of bounds, he'd punt it away, and he'd live to fight another day. At some point, you need to be willing to admit you can't score in every drive. And it's a young quarterback thing. They think because they could do it at college, we can score on every drive, let's go. I'm much more inclined to take what the defense offers you and gradually get there. But you also deal with, you look at Mahomes and he's breaking every possible.
Oh, Mahomes is the 1%. Mahomes, that's just different. That's just different level. The arm strength, the presence of forethought.
Left-handed while falling over, getting sacked.
Yeah, I mean, he's a freak of the quarterback nature. I think the idea of trying to score on every play, like in college, coming up against a lower team and knowing you can just run a train over them. Surely that's been drummed out of him by now. Surely that instinct of I can make the play no matter what. That would have been taken out of him last season, maybe on the first play against Detroit. You know,
it could be the best thing. But you also need to look at it. Brett Favre played, what, 20 years and he never lost.
I'm not saying he's Brett Favre. I'm saying it's one trait that's very similar to what Brett used to do.
The traits sometimes they're inbred. You did it for 20 years. It might be too late by now. It's like the Cam Newton thing. If the first read's not on, he'll run because he knows he's bigger, stronger, faster than everyone he's ever played against. It's hard to break that. And it could be that they did it already, but all I look at is people like Favre, who 20 years into his career, final game he ever played, it was the championship game when he was at Minnesota. He needed 5 yards.
Yeah, that was in overtime, wasn't it?
Yep, he needed 5 yards for a field goal. He went for 40 to get a touchdown, picked off, game
that,
over.
That throw was across his body, yeah. I remember watching that.
You live with it because you get the good with the bad, but at some point, that is who he is. He was never going to learn to take the shot when they gave him because it just wasn't who he was. Sometimes it's inbuilt. They always,
yeah, I mean,
also something is what makes them great. They've got that attitude that I can make every throw, I'm better than everyone I go
personality
against.
Wise, Brett Favre is, I mean, he did have that ego, but it was kind of that alpha ego of just like, yep. He wasn't loud and brash, he wasn't like screaming his head off like Philip Rivers or, you know, thinking he was the big I am. He was just a bit of an introvert, but he still had that ego. I mean, anybody who can pull off jean shorts like that on draft day, I mean, you know, hands up, fair play. But I think with Darnold, he does it, again, going back to what I said, he does it because it's a calculated risk. I don't think he's driven by ego or desperation. I think it's calculated in his head. He seems like someone who is very level-headed and hasn't shown at all at any point that he is driven by ego.
Yeah, so moving on, the next preseason game for Mets comes this Saturday / Sunday early morning at 12:30 against the Saints. What are you hoping to see in this game? More of the same? Anything new? Well, anything different?
Gase has said the starters can expect to play one half and one series in the second half. So this is the main one. This is the pre-season that looks most like the regular season.
Yeah, they don't really chuck them out in the fourth game, do they? So,
because your fourth game's usually the guys that are about to get cut to see the last two or three spots.
You don't need somebody getting pancaked in the fourth game and either getting injured or losing their confidence, do you? So.
Well, that's what I'd like to see, no injuries.
Yeah, that'd be the biggest win.
I expect our starters to leave the game with a lead. Not a big one, but with a lead. Just for the Saints to choke it away, to be honest. Because the Saints' defense isn't great, in my opinion, if you look at them. They got some stellar pieces, or they got some very good pieces, but it's not a complete defense, not in my opinion. And it lacks the it factor as a unit. So I think Sam Darnold will have a very good game, and he'll be able to go toe-to-toe with Drew Brees and actually overpower him at some point, simply because, I don't know, he has one drive more, or in one drive he has a touchdown, Brees has a field goal, something like that. But our backups will be roasted just as usual.
Yeah, I think it's going to come down on defense. If the Saints are working on different plays, then fine. But if they're just going out to boost confidence, they're just going to let Brees go nuts, and he could find so many different gaps in that secondary and just...
Yeah, I don't have the confidence that you do, John. I've got... I mean, to say that the defense as a whole, I mean, I like Von Bell. I like... Lattimore. They've got players everywhere. I don't think their defense is any worse than ours.
This is a team that's looking to go to the conference game again. So,
minimum.
Yeah, especially after the way last season ended. So.
Yep, I was in New Orleans for that.
Jeez.
They were not happy.
Oh, I wonder why.
That's mad.
But yeah. It depends. I mean, again, preseason, the scorelines aren't that important. No. If we come out and look competitive with their starters against us, I'd take that. No injuries. Darnold again looks good. That's what I'm looking for the third preseason game.
I do think as long as they work on situations, and just trying to kind of iron out any kinks they've got. And obviously, looking at backups, they think they're going to make the cut come week one. Yeah, that's fine. Again, this is the Saints. They're a conference game level team, as we've said. You know, as long as we carry out what we want to do efficiently, I'm happy with just progressing as is, really.
I'd also like to
bless you.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be nice to see some. That's a good Quinn and Williams moment there. But yeah, it'd be some good field goals.
Just anything extra points. Just anything that goes through the uprights.
I don't think Taylor Bertley is here to stay. No. I have a feeling that. The Jets kicker in week one isn't on the roster yet. You got to look at the Vikings there, who just traded the fifth round pick for Carter Vetvik, and to have Dan Bailey on the roster. One of those two will be a goner. You got to look at old veterans. I think, isn't Steven Gostkowski still out there?
Yeah.
Or,
yep.
something like that. So I don't think that Douglas seriously intends to ride with Taylor Bertolli. I mean, all props to the young guy, but he just doesn't have it, in my opinion. He lost last year against Jason Myers, which was no hard thing, to be fair, the year Jason Myers had. But still, he missed, I think, two PATs against the Falcons. Today he missed another kick in training from, I think, 43 yards. So that's just not, you can't ride with that. So you got to bring in another kicker. And so I think the Saints game will be Burley's last game as a Jet.
I can't see him sticking. But all in all, like I said, the main thing is no injuries. We've had enough. Let's just get into the regular season healthy, everybody ready on the go.
Yeah.
And hopefully have a good season.
Yeah, fuck it. Let's just go for 2 points after every touchdown. Suits me. It's fine. We got like eight running backs. Sod it. We can figure something out.
Yeah, so so as we like come towards the end of this podcast, as it's our first one of the new season, I'm going to ask for your very early 29 predictions. And bear in mind, these are going to be listened back to at the end of this season. Careful what you say.
Right, what is it, just Jets predictions or sort of general MVP, Super Bowl?
As in the Jets, what is the Jets record going to be? Is it going to be
Jets will be the Jets will be 9-7.
Okay,
miss the playoffs.
I'm gonna be the positive guy here. I actually think, if everything falls in its place, the Jets are capable of a 10-6.
Ladies and gentlemen, 10-6. The German Mark Sanchez. Gee, what the hell, where did 10-6 come from?
Two things, sir. One, typical, it's the non-Brit who's optimistic.
My word.
The Brits are pessimistic. Two, 10-6. What the bloody hell are you going to tell me?
Oh my word.
Do you know what, John? I'm going to back you here.
On 9.
I think
we can go 10-6 as well. I think at the end of the day, we've got a quarterback that could be incredibly good this season with some major playmakers. And we saw last year that defense doesn't mean. And I think we can outscore a few of our opponents this year. Yeah, I think we might go 10-6 too.
Tyreek Hill, Kareem Hunt, and Travis Kelce.
Yeah, but we do have one of the best running backs, and I think Robbie Anderson this year is gonna take the roof off.
Also, in my opinion, don't have the best offensive coach in the last 15 years.
Le'Veon Bell, the ability to just delete defenses. It's unreal what this dude can do, and he can pull our head out of the rope a lot of times, in my opinion. Our defense won't be great. They won't be top 10 or anything, but our offense, I think, will be able to keep pace with the best of them. And what I'm thinking is, look at Adam Gase. I know he's getting a lot of heat for his time in Miami, but the guy actually made the playoffs with Ryan Tannehill as his QB in his only healthy season. So you got to give him credit for that. And I think Gase is able to lead this Jets team to a playoff berth to the first since 2010. So I actually backed this 10-6. Yeah.
I hope you're right.
I'm going to be the party pooper. I'm going 8-8, and I'll be happy with 8-8. The way it is at the moment, because we can look at it now. We can look at who's getting cut. We can look at the fact that Le'Veon Bell is coming in. Like, okay, depends which way you look at it. Rusty, fresh, hasn't been touched during preseason. You can say Sam is throwing the ball well. He's hitting his targets. He's throwing to the. He's hitting the numbers on the chest of everybody. Yeah, great. We got a nice receiving core. Everyone's forgetting that one factor, the Jets factor. The factor that screwed us against the Titans last season, the factor that just comes into play every time. The fact that something will happen with the back office, something will happen, players going down injured. There will be that Jets element that will just kick in, that Jets effect somewhere in the season. That's not being negative. It's the fact that we've seen it year on year on year on year, going back to what Josh said with Mangini. You know, it's... something will come a cropper. So
what
it's
can go wrong will go wrong.
It's the Jets, and if there isn't a problem, the press make a problem. So I'm sorry. They're going to get bored with taking the piss out of Giants after week five.
Did you see Mike Greenberg? He was saying the biggest worry is everything's going too wrong. He's waiting on the issue. That's me.
So 8-8, I'm happy. Darnold doesn't end up getting decapitated by somebody, I'm happy. Le'Veon Bell doesn't go down in week three with a fucking ACL or something, I'm happy. I can live with that. So yeah, I'm saying 8-8.
What's going to happen? Me and Joe, this wild card again. Guaranteed. Yeah.
Tennessee's a missing wild card. That'd be savage. Oh my god, that'd be awful.
But well, thank you everyone for listening to our third podcast of the 2019 season. It's been a pleasure speaking against Bezos, and hope you're watching the game. I'm sure I'll speak to you again soon.
Yep.
Yeah. Cheers. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.